Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Amen. I thank the Lord for being here on tonight. I want to thank everyone that showed up, the musicians, the praise team did an awesome job. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We're talking about warfare. We're talking about warfare. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And before I do that, I prayed, amen, not only for this whole service, but also prayed for Pastor Mullen. Amen, that he and I will flow, amen, as the Spirit leads us. So when I get down, when he gets up, it's just a continuation of the Word of God, amen. We're in one spirit, amen. And I thank God for that. I thank God that we don't have a spirit of performance to try to prove anything, amen. Look, I was in special ed classes, amen, at Renton High School. That's two strikes, special ed and special ed at Renton High School. So your expectation, and I just wear the collar to look smart, amen, so I could fool you a little while, amen. And I'm from New Orleans, where even really intelligent people talk really weird, amen. So that's your expectation. Expect some bad grammar, amen. Expect some funny talking, amen. But through it all, you hear God, amen. Amen. If I tell on myself, you know, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start at verse number 12. Matter of fact, let's start at verse number 10. And please repeat after me. I cast out of my mind all negative information that has affected my God-given destiny and has gotten me off track from my purpose in Christ. And I receive by faith the Word of God that has released all His promises and blessings in my life now. Amen. When I was praying about this word, I didn't know who would be here, but I do know that God is going to speak directly to the hearts of His people. And one of the things I tell our church is make a decision that you're not going to critique the word to not receive it. That you're going to find something to help you. Amen. We go places and, you know, and we all have done it, and we leave and we go, man, he could have did this. He could look, just find something. Amen. Amen. That you're going to receive, that you can marry, that you can receive. Amen. And that you can get in the bed with. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me. And consummate the marriage. This is an adult conference, right? Amen. So let's make sure that we do that. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. What I'm going to do, I'm not going to break down all that principalities, powers. I'm going to leave all that to Pastor Mullen. Amen. He's going to give you the Greek, the Hebrew, and all that. Amen. I'm just joking. Put all the pressure on Pastor. Amen. But I want to talk about today for a little while that we're always in war. When Marquise was talking, he was talking about a day-to-day war. One of the things I hear us say is when we find ourselves in a struggle, in a battle, we say, well, I'm under attack. How many people have said that? I'm under attack. You're always under attack. The devil is always trying to make you miss a step. He's always against you. Even when there feels like there's times of bliss and prosperity in your life, you are still under attack. Hallelujah. So you have to understand that even when it's good, you have to be in preparation for the next big thing. Hallelujah. I know there's some football players here, but my greatest battles that I had was not on the playing field, but in the practice field. When I had to hit that big fullback play after play. Oh, y'all don't hear me. In the midst of the game, I might have to hit that big guy two or three times. But in practice, coach is like, oh, you didn't hit him right. Now I got to go back and line up and hit him again. Because what he's trying to do is show me the proper technique. Oh, help me, God. So when I get in the game, I'll make sure. See, I might not have another chance in the game. So look, let me tell you something. Don't despise the fact that you have these battles. Hallelujah. When you're battling, the battle is simply a test to prove you. Hallelujah. David said when he had to put on the armor of Saul, he said, I have not proved this armor means I have not tested this armor. And I just simply want to share with you today that you're always in a battle and practice. Oh my God. One thing I know, I'm preaching better than you shouting. Amen. Hallelujah. God is faithful, and God will put you in position to succeed. Let me tell you why. In war, we're in a war, but we're in a war that's already won. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. We're in a war that is already won. The war, really, if we really saw it through God's eyes, everything is already done. Hallelujah. I know it's difficult. I know what you mean is already done. They just told me yesterday my rent. Look, it's already done. It's already done. The book says, amen. Everything that's going to be done is done. Lord, save me. If you walk the way he told you, you're already saved. Matter of fact, we want to get all prophetic when it comes to houses, cars, and husbands and wives. But the most prophetic thing you can say to yourself is that there's another battle coming. It was promised you that you will be made a spectacle of, and that you were going to struggle and you were going to be in a war. Hallelujah. It was promised to you that there was a cross that you were going to have to bear. So stop trying to pray away the struggle. Hallelujah. Stop trying to pray away the thing that is sharpening you. Hallelujah. The war is a consistent battle. The war is a consistent battle. For a little while, I want to talk about, amen, don't trust your flesh. Somebody said, oh, don't trust your flesh. Let me tell you why. The flesh is a spirit. Oh, I didn't get a whole lot of shouts off that. The flesh is a spirit. The Bible says that the flesh is in your mind. The Bible says that the carnal mind is an enemy against God. So the flesh is a mindset. The flesh is a mindset. And it manifests itself through our physical dirt bodies, amen, but it's a mindset. And I don't want you to trust the flesh, but I want you to trust the Spirit. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm watching that clock right there. Amen. It's moving. Hallelujah. Marquise, won't you move that back to the 10? Amen. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Can I testify real quick as we look for this? You know, I have been tired in my body. I have been tired in my body. I have been in a fight. Amen. The enemy has come against everything I have. My wife, my kids, my job. And I have been tired in my body. And I'm not coming up here to give the devil any glory. Amen. But I sure thank God for his word. I sure thank God that this word is for me, that the battle is always there. I thank God that I know I'm victorious. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're more than conquerors. In the Greek, it means you're more than victorious. What does that mean? You're more than victorious because you're in a battle you didn't have to win. You're in a battle that was won for you. You're in a battle that you just have to walk in. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm whispering. You know, this is that Barry White mic here. No, that's Lou Ross. I was going to say, you'll never find. Amen. Amen. It's 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 11th verse. And it reads, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant to his devices. To his devices. So I want to talk to you a little bit about a particular area that Satan challenges us in, and that is our perspective. Our perspective. Hallelujah. What is perspective? We have many definitions, and but perspective, when you look it up in the dictionary, it talks about the senses. The senses. The touch, the taste, the hearing, the seeing, and the smelling. Amen. And it talks about that because that's how we come to a conclusion through our senses. Amen. So the devil attacks us in our perspective. And I want to ask you a question. Who was the first sinner? See, I know we don't like to answer because we think we're going to have it wrong. But just throw it out. Who you think was the first sinner? Huh? Pastor got it right. The devil. The first sin he committed was in his perspective. He saw the glorious majesty of God and decided that he wanted to put himself above God. Sin in the Hebrew means to be out of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Help me, God. Help me, God. Let me work on this. Sin in the Hebrew, when you look the word up, you'll see a word called death. Death. There's three kinds of deaths. There's the death when the Holy Spirit is not in you. The Bible says in Genesis that when Adam and Eve messed up, God told them before they messed up, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die, right? And it was not talking about the physical death. It was talking about the day you disobey the word that I've given you, now my spirit is going to leave you. Hallelujah. And I wrestled with that but God showed me something. The spirit left Adam and he lived to be about 900 and something years old. So they said, you will surely what? Die. But he lived another 900 years old without the Spirit of God. Somebody said, I got to check my theology. I dare you to check it. That's why we're here, for you to check it. Amen. Now, so there's that death when it leaves you. And there's another death when you leave the presence of God. That's another form of death. And the last form is when your spirit leaves your physical body. Now, if death in the Hebrew means sin, and the first sinner was Satan, we call it a sin nature, but in reality, it's a satanic nature. To disobey God in sin, now you are not in a sin nature, you're in a satanic nature. Because he was the first one to sin. This is going to help somebody, I know it. You'll think twice before you lay down with her. I am being like the devil. Hallelujah. Sin nature is a satanic nature. Now, the devil, we talked about perspective. The devil saw what God had. And what you do with your perspective is you see something. And in the Greek, perspective, in the biblical word, when you look it up, perspective means to perceive through the spirit. That's why he gave us a divine nature. Hallelujah. On one hand, there's a sin nature. On the other hand, there's a divine nature. And because the Lord knew your perspective was jacked up, your perspective is flesh all the way. I don't care how intellectual you sound. It's a sin nature. To think that you can manipulate the hand of God with a morally good life. Is a sin nature. Because now, just like the devil, you have said that I will elevate my throne above the throne of God. I will be so good that I can obtain it through my goodness. Hallelujah. I got all kind of other stuff up here. I wasn't supposed to be doing none of this. Amen. So the flesh and your perspective, the Bible says that when that Eve, amen, the devil came to her and he challenged her and said, he said some truth, but he also said some lies. Hallelujah. And he got her to looking at her self through her own perspective. He got her to look at what she could be if she did what God told her not to do. And that's what your perspective does. It gets you to look at what you could do without God, how you could move and how you could live, amen, through your ability to perceive and to understand. Your ability to be intelligent and to hear your own spirit and operate. So Eve heard these things and she said to the devil that God said we shouldn't eat it, not even touch it. She put through two senses out there. But she was looking through her own perspective. And I thought, man, I challenge you. Amen. I challenge you because the moment you get into your perspective, you have transitioned into a prideful life. That the moment. Amen. Okay, Holy Ghost. I was talking about the death thing. When they were singing, I saw something in the spirit and I said, God, not today. This is what I said. Not today, because I had some other stuff. When you go somewhere, you got to bring your good stuff. All preachers know that. You got to bring your good stuff. That good old faithful revelation, you know, that you tuck away. Everybody got one, at least. But I saw something because I was studying this death thing and the sin thing, and how the sin, the first sins that took the devil out of the presence of God. The Bible says he fell, but really he didn't fall. He was thrown out. But what Adam did was he fell. When they sinned, he fell. So what I saw in the spirit was, first of all, I saw the Holy Spirit coming back to Jesus. He was the Word in the flesh. I know all that. Just stay with me. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And when I saw it descend on him like a dove, I saw it leave Adam in the spirit. Because I always wrestle with that second Adam thing, because Adam jacked it up. Like but it says that because the spirit, Christ, obeyed God and restored us. So another thing I saw, death has a purpose to be dead. The purpose of death is to be dead. Death is not supposed to be a part of your life. Death is dead, right? So when you disobey God, you make death operate out of the will of God. So what Christ did was, because Adam fell because of death, Christ died. And where Adam died and couldn't get back up, Christ rose to take the power back from death. Oh, I'm preaching better than you shouting. I got to say that one more time after that time. So what Christ really did for us was took the power back from death. But when you sin, and when you sin, I know I've sinned. When you sin, you give death the power back again. Why? Why you say that? Well, nobody perfect. You saying you can live a perfect life? That's not my theology. Paul said that when I would do good. No, I'm trying to get you to see it. The reason why, I'm not saying you're going to do everything perfectly. I'm not going to say that. But what I'm saying is, when you sin, just like Eve, you disobey the divine nature, the spirit of God that's been placed in you. And I gave you the Hebrew definition, the Greek definition of sin. It means to miss the mark or to cross the line. You cannot play a football game in the out of bounds line. It's matter of fact, if you hit somebody past the line, it's a penalty because you have crossed the line. We're still talking about warfare, but you have to understand your role in it. You have to understand that you cannot give the devil power over you. You're fighting in a fixed fight. So he's going to attack you like Eve in your perspective to make you give him power. Because he has no power. So he has to get your mind and to twist to cross the line so he could tear your head apart. I'm telling you, I crossed the line before as a bishop, as a pastor, and he tore me up. He tore me up. He made everything I do feel like it had no purpose because I crossed the line. So family, I'm trying to help you understand what sin does. Leave it dead. The Bible is interesting that the Bible says the wages of sin, it's not plural. It says the wages of sin is death. Because sin is disobedience to God. The wages of sin is death. And if you understand the fact that you have to allow, tell your neighbor, allow the Spirit of the living God to lead you. It'll lead you. The Bible said it's a helper. The Bible says it helps my infirmities. And an infirmity in the Greek is a weakness, not a sickness. A weakness. Hallelujah. First lady, not sleep. I'm still all right. Amen. And it's not about the devil. I heard a pastor by the name of John Piper looking at something he was saying, and he was saying, one of the things we've done, a mistake that we've made, is we've tried to persuade people to serve God by making them see a vision of heaven, making them not want to go to hell, and we have not really presented them with the relationship that God desires for us. And he said something interesting. He said, even the devil want to go to heaven. He just don't want God to be there. I said, you know what? So everybody want to go to heaven. The atheists want to go to heaven, which confuses me anyway, how you could say, I don't believe in God. When you got to say that means you believe in God. But anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. But he said he was talking about how we've gotten off track because we've tried to persuade the wrong way. But I'm telling you, family, if you really want to win the war, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight, which, you know, when you look it up in the dictionary, it sight is the same word for perspective. Walk by faith and not by sight, not by your ability. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Your understanding is your perspective. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So today, family, I want you to understand that it's not about the devil at all. I got one more scripture. It's not about the devil at all. We've already defeated him. He's a defeated foe. We've won that war. Now, the suffering that we go through, that we call attacks from the devil, and I'm not saying that they're not, because the Bible says he'll get an advantage of us if we don't understand his tricks. A major trick is to get you to get in your perspective. But the devil is not about him. This war is not about him. Matter of fact, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, and Daniel talks about the prince of Persia and how there was a war and a battle that how God, the angel was coming for the prayers of Daniel. You know, the Bible talks about that, but that war really is not about you. It says we because we're in Christ. We wrestle not. So I want you to see this. So if it's not about the devil, what is the struggle really about? What is the test really for? What if it's not about those, we call them Slewfoot, New Orleans. Y'all call them Slewfoot, Beelzebub. Man, when I was growing up, I said, give me another 5 minutes. When I was growing up, I grew up in New Orleans, and in New Orleans, you know, we believe in spirits. We believe dead people's spirit will come pull your toes. It sounds crazy, but my dad would always keep his toes covered up in the bed because he believed that a spirit was going to pull his toes. So When we were kids, we would go and sneak and pull the cover off his feet. And he'd go to twiggling his toes. And we'll pull his toe and jump down. And he'll jump up. Hey, hey! You know, and we, you know, we wouldn't point our finger at the graveyard and stuff like that. You had to bite your finger. Who remember that one? It was so many superstitions, and we believed in all these spirits and all this stuff. And we, man, we experienced some crazy stuff. Throwing gun, whoever did Bloody Mary, you go in the bathroom, say Bloody Mary 5 times, and you throw the water on a window and just scream. Ah, I see Medusa. Medusa, you know, whoever did that, all the people from New Orleans, amen. That's why y'all have heart trouble right now, scaring yourself on purpose. But I come to find out in studying and getting to know God that it's really not about the devil at all. The trying, I'll just say it, is James 1. It says the trying of your faith. Trying means testing. And it's interesting that the Bible never tells you to try. But it does tell you you'll be tried. It doesn't tell you to try in a sense of to try. I looked it up. Try means to make an attempt. God doesn't want your attempts because an attempt means you failed already. I'm trying to live for God. Well, you already failed. Ah. It never instructs you to try. It just tells you to do it. Man, I'm trying every day. I hear this a lot, marriage counseling. Got a lot of young married couples here. Hear it a lot. Man, I'm trying to get her to cook. You know, I've been working all day, man, and I'm trying to get her to cook just a meal. You know, I've been praying about it and asking God to touch her heart. You know, I want them red beans and rice and the neck bones. I've been trying to help her. Well, you already failed because she don't know how to cook no neck bones. God never tells you to try. If you find it, show it to me. And I'll call everybody. I'll try to. To make sure that I take it back. Amen. You got it? You got it? You got it? But God never tells you to try, but he says you will be tried. A try means to be tested. What's the purpose of the struggle? What's the purpose of the test? Tithing, the tenth. Ten means test. What's the purpose of all these tests we go through? It's not for the devil. You have to understand we're in a spiritual warfare, but if you don't understand that when you're going through and when you feel the struggle, it's not the devil all the time. It's the test. The Bible says the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. Hallelujah. If you let patience have her perfect work, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the Hebrew, perfect means to be mature. What is it doing? It's the test is coming to make you mature. The test is coming to show you that you're here to be a spectacle. The test is coming to show you your heart toward God. It's not about the devil. We know we won. We know it's about you to see. When the test comes, you'll find out how strong you really are. Hallelujah. One more thing and I'm done. I played at Harding University, played there, and our coaches, I played a few college, well, two colleges, but though that coaching staff really knew how to prepare. They really knew how to prepare. We would study the tape, and we knew everything that they were going to do. We knew their favorite plays. You know, I knew when a lineman got in his splits, if it was run or pass, we'd look at their knuckles. Not only that, I knew if he was pulling, because he sometimes they would take a tighter splits and get deeper. So women like, I don't know what you're talking about. What you talking about, Willis? But we knew because we prepared, and our coaches would point out every little detail. And we would call it read your keys. What did your key show you in the offense? You know, what they would try to do is they would try to do something different to trick you at times. But we weren't that good. Oh, my God. I know y'all thought it was going somewhere else. We weren't that good, so they never tried to trick us. We prepared for them but couldn't stop them. We prepared hard and you know, and I played safety. What I'm doing with 20 tackles? That means nobody else. I play safety, the corner half 15, the other corner half. Played against Corey Dillon. He had 10 carries for 100 and something yards on us. 192 yards on 10 carries. The brother's like, man. I mean, he outrunning all the angles. But the thing is this. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The devil can know, he can know what you're doing, but he can't stop it. Because he doesn't have the means to win. But even though they knew that when we play Harding, we're going to get stats that game, they still prepared for us. And then they went out and executed their coach's game plan against us. Man, it really wasn't about the opponent. It was just about them. And I want to tell you now, family, it's not about the devil. It's about your perspective. How you see God, how you receive God, and your obedience to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.